really means anything when your plan for your life is different than God's plan for your life. Because in that moment when God asks you to do something you don't want to do, you're going to find out, who do you really trust more? Do you trust yourself more, or do you trust God more? Because we walk around in life, we think, you know what, I know what's best for my life. I've got a plan, I know what's best, who can tell me what to do, I know what's going on. And then God comes up to you and says, hey, I got a different plan for your life. Why don't you listen here, and why don't you follow me? And then we hear that, and we say to God, you know, God, let me get back to you on that. Because your plan kind of messes up my plan. So let me think about that for a little bit, and let me get back to you. Because in that moment, what we're trying to figure out is, if I follow God, that kind of messes up my plan for my life. And I'm not sure if God can handle, if he could do a better job of taking care of me than me. And for me, I'm going through this real intense period. I feel like God's been testing my faith. And it has to do with my family, my mom in particular. I was the first Christian in my family. I've been a Christian 27 years, and my mom, I really didn't have any relationship with my mom. And as a young person, my mom and my dad split up, and she left the home. And, you know, all I've known about my mom is she's an angry alcoholic, left our family. And, you know, I know early on, my dad was real, real bad to her and things like that. So, weird way of thinking, she left my dad because my dad was not a good guy. And but all I knew was, you know, I didn't know about that. I just knew that my mom left me. Right? So I've been kind of angry about that. I've been dealing with a lot of different things. And, you know, my mom's not an easy person to get along with. And she's really been out of our lives. Mean, negative, alcoholic. And actually, I have four older brothers that none of us have a good relationship with. And like one of my brothers just can't even be in the same room with her. She's like, you know, she's just been, mean, negative, angry towards everyone in her life. And so about 9 months ago, we had a situation where earlier, you know, a few months before that, my mom had a stroke. And we're trying to figure out what to do. And God was putting in our life, well, maybe you should bring her into your house and take care of her. I was like, hold up, God, what are you talking about? I don't have a place. You know, we don't have extra rooms. I was like, well, you got your little your man cave office. I'm like, but they got a own bathroom in there. I got my own bathroom. The kids don't go in there. And then, but this thing, in the Asian household, this is how it's supposed to work, okay? I got four older brothers, and it's supposed to go in order, right? I'm the youngest. And I'm like, one of you guys got to step up and take care of your mom, right? It's like, my older brother, it's your job, you're the oldest. I ain't doing it. I'm like that one. Shoot. Number two, it's your job. Like, no, he's actually a father. He's like, man. Number three, like, no, I work nights, and I won't spend it. And number two, number four, you didn't even come to the meeting. Right? Like, forget it. I know what you're going to have to do. I ain't even going to show up. So, me and my wife look at each other. We're the only Christian in my family. I'm like, what are we going to do? Right? I'm number five. I'm the only Christian. I was like, okay, let's bring mom home to live with us. And it's just, honestly, I wish I could tell you, ever since we brought her into our home, it's like the Holy Spirit's been blessing us, and, you know, everything's been great. It's just been really hard, honestly. There are days I'm on my, my wife is crying because, you know, we're trying to help, and she's not used to the negativity, right? Because my wife grew up in her dad's pastor, and my mom, she's still negative and all this stuff, and we're praying for her. And I try to get the kids, I say, hey kids, let's go in grandma's room, and let's pray for her. We say, grandma, we have to lay hands and pray for her. And I said, how can we pray for you? And this is how she says, pray that I will die. And I'm like, okay, kids, we're not going to pray for that. We're just going to pray that she has a good day tomorrow. Like, let's not pray for death. Let's ignore what she just said. And that's constantly what she's, you know, so it's a real difficult situation. And so that's something that God has been asking me to do that I just really don't want to do. And I'm I'm sure in your life, God has been asking you to do something that you just don't want to do. And you know exactly what that thing is. As I tell my story, you probably have something in your mind that I know what God has been asking me to do, I just don't want to do. And it has to do with something in the area of money. Right? Maybe you owe someone some money, you got to pay them back, or maybe it's about a job going out to find some work, or maybe it's about a relationship. That God wants you to forgive someone that has hurt you or wronged you, or that you wronged somebody else and you've done something to other people. God said, hey, you got to fix that situation. You got to make restitution. You got to seek forgiveness. Or maybe God is asking you to love someone that is just difficult to love. Right? Like, that's my situation right now. So, like, just love her even though she did all this thing. Or maybe God is asking you to walk away from a relationship that you have no business to be in. Or God is asking you to do something to serve Him, you know, to use some of your resources, your money, to bless someone else, to come and mentor some kids at the water program, or to help out some, you know, like, God's asking you to do something. You're like, gosh, you know, if I listen to you, that kind of messes up my agenda for my life. And you know what? God, I know what you want, but your plan kind of messes up my plan, so let me get back to you on that one, right? And if you feel that, the good news is that you're not alone. It's actually a common theme in the Bible. We're actually going to look at a story in the Bible about a guy that God asked to do something that he did not want to do. And we're going to try to pull out some lessons. And the story that we're going to talk about is the story of Jonah. You know, Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the big fish. Okay? I don't have notes today, but I'm going to ask you to grab a Bible that's in front of you. We're going to be on page 645. I'm going to go through a bunch of different verses. I'll point them out to you. Page 645, or in Jonah. You got to know about Jonah chapter 1 is where we're going to get started. So grab one of those paperback Bibles, page 645. And I'll read from chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, and then we're going to skip around, okay? It says this: "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa, where he found his ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship was threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw their cargo into the sea to lighten it." Okay? So let me give you a little background on the story, and we'll try to pull out some lessons here. Jonah lived about 750 years before Jesus. He was a prophet of God, and during this time, it was a real bad period in Israel's history. It's called the Divided Kingdom. Israel just went through a civil war, north and south, and the northerners were bad. And during this time, there was this people called the Assyrians. There was this empire that were arising. They were from what we know as Iraq today. So they were Assyrians. They were traveling around. They were conquering people. And they had already just conquered the northern half of Israel. That was the half of that was rich, had a lot of land and plentiful, you know, a great soil for farmland. They just came in and took over the northern half of Israel. And these people, the Assyrians, were brutal people. They would come in and they would, not only would they win a battle, but this is something that was new back then. When the war was over and everyone says, "I give up," right? They would go in and continue to punish the civilians, not just the army. So what they did is they would come into a new territory and they would conquer them, and they would make, they kill up all the soldiers, and they would make the civilians, women, children, whoever, make them slaves. Right? You know what they used to do? They would displace them. They would make them slaves. They would put fish hooks in their noses and string them up by the thousands and displace them and bring them to another land. It says, "You go live over here." And then when they're going to take a different group of people, it says, you go here, you go live over here. And it was their way of controlling the mob, because they think that we, the people, if we let them stay in their own country, they know their land, they're tied to land, they're going to eventually revolt and have an uprising. But if they're in some place new, they don't know anything, and it's a way to just get them, you know. By the way, that sounds like mean and cruel, right? That's what the United States did 150 years ago to the Native Americans. It's called Trail of Tears. Okay, so don't look at judgments. These people are bad. We're bad too, okay? So this is the story. Jonah had this deep hatred towards these people of the Syrian. He loves God. He's like, man, those people, and he's every single day in his prayer, God, would you judge those people for what they did to our people? Right? God, would you judge them? And all of a sudden, God comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, I got a mission for you. I want you to go be a missionary to the capital city of Assyria, which is called Nineveh. He said, missionary to those people? I'm not going to do it. You know, it's similar to, like, if you were a pastor that's living in Syria today, and God says, hey, you know those people, those ISIS people that are gathering, coming into the villages around you, gathering all those people and chopping off their heads, putting it on YouTube? Hey, why don't you go over there and start a church in their neighborhood? It's like, I ain't going to do it. No, I ain't like, I pray that God, that you would bring punishment to them. And so Jonah hears this, and he says, God, I know what your plan is. I don't like your plan. Actually, I think your plan is kind of dumb and stupid. So I'm going to decide I'm not going to do it. And the thing is, he didn't even say, God, like what we would do is we would just stay where we're at and just pretend we didn't hear God. There you go. Okay, I'm going to get to it. When? I got some things. And we would just kind of ignore it. Like, Jonah's like, I'm not going to do it. And not only am I not going to do it, I'm not even going to stay here. I'm going to go the opposite direction. So God says, go to Nineveh, which is south and east to where he was. So he says, go down there. And it says he got onto a boat to go to Tarshish, which was in Spain, which is north and west. Right? So it says, God says, go here. Says, not only did he say, well, I'm not going to just ignore you and stay here. I'm going to have to go the opposite direction of what you were telling me to do. The complete opposite way. Okay? And he runs from God. And so this is, I'm going to try to pull out some lessons. So lesson number one is this. You notice that he's running away from God's assignment. Right? But here in verse 3, it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. It didn't say he ran away from God's assignment, but he ran away from the Lord. So the lesson is this. Running away from God's assignment is the same thing as running away from the Lord. It's the same thing. Like, you think that you could just say no to God and still be a follower. Like, how can you be a follower that don't follow? That just doesn't make sense. Right? So running away from God's assignment is running away from God. Saying no to assignment is saying no to God. Right? So that's the first lesson. It says he didn't want anything to do with this assignment, but it says he ran away from not the assignment, he ran away from the Lord. And in this situation, in our situation, is that. Like if you keep on stiff-arming God's assignment for you, like, no, I don't want to do that, it's going to start affecting you. You're going to start coming to church, and you're going to feel like, you know what? I feel like God isn't even here anymore. Like, how come my faith isn't growing? I don't feel close to God. So you can't run away from God's plan and assignment and still expect to have the same relationship with God. It's the same thing, right? It's like you know, with your kids, you know, in the family. If your mom keeps on telling you, do this, and you're like, no, Mom, I'm not going to do that, you know, and you still expect to have the same relationship with Mom. It's like, Mom's like, if you keep on disobeying me, like, it affects our relationship. So running away from God's assignment is the same thing as running away from God. Okay? Let me go ahead and continue to read the story a little bit. It says here in verse 4, so as he was getting on his boat to run away, God sent a big storm, right? God sent that storm. It wasn't just something that occurred on its own. It says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, which was so violent, arose, and the ship threatened to break up. And everyone on that ship, they were like, hey, go, you guys from all different places, pray to your gods that maybe your God will save us. And Jonah was like, you know what? You guys don't bother. I know what this is about. This is about me. It's not about you guys, because God sent this storm for me. If you throw me overboard, you guys will be safe. You guys don't have to worry about going over your cargo and praying and, you know, sacrificing some chickens or, you know, it's all about me. Throw me overboard and the storm's going to stop. So that's what they did. They threw him overboard and right there the storm stopped. And then in verse 17, it says, as he was in the water, it says, but the Lord provided, and that's a key word, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Notice that it says the Lord sent a storm and the Lord provided a great fish. And this is the second lesson, is that God is relentless in his love and pursuit of the people he loves. But God is relentless relentless in his love and pursuit of lost people. And we just sang that song. God's love never fails, never gives up, never runs out. That's the opposite of our love for God. It always fails. We always give up on God. And like we run out on God all the time. But God doesn't run out on us. Right? So we know that God he's telling Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh, these people, they're lost. I want you to preach, tell them and warn them about my judgment. If they don't repent, I'm going to have to judge them, go warn them. And then Jonah says, I don't want to do that. And he runs away. And if you notice, at this point, Jonah is lost too. Right? He's a sinner too. He's a prophet of God, but he's also a sinner. And if you think about it, who is the bigger sinner at this moment? Is it the Ninevites, the Assyrians who go and conquer people that are brutal? Right? Or is it the prophet who knows God's will, but yet says, screw you, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you, and runs the other way? Right? The Bible's very clear that to sin with ignorance is a certain thing, but to sin with knowledge is a whole nother deal. It's very clear that if you have knowledge of God and you still choose to turn your back on God, shake your fist at God, says you're going to be held to a higher responsibility. And even in this moment, who do you think God is more angry at? Those people who are just doing their thing because they just don't know. They don't have a prophet. They don't have a word. They're just doing their thing. Or the prophet who knows, who's supposed to have God's love, and he says, no, I don't want to. So at that point, the bigger sinner is Jonah. Right? But still, we see that God sends the storm and provides this fish. A lot of times we think of the story, oh, God's so mean. He sends a storm. He sends a fish to swallow. God's so mean. But you got to think about it this way. The storm and the fish are not God's punishment. It's not. It's God's grace. Right? Because God did not send the storm and the fish to pay Jonah back for his disobedience. The storm and the fish are there to bring him back into the will of God. Because Jonah wasn't coming back on his own. But he packed up his bags and I am not coming back. And if you think about it this way, what would have happened if God, if he didn't send that storm, if he didn't send that fish? What would have happened to Jonah? Jonah would have forever been outside of the will of God, forever separated from God's plan and his grace. Right? Jonah would have never come back on his own. And for you, some of you guys are experiencing some storms right now. And you think, God, you're so mean. Why are you doing this? Maybe the storm is there to bring you back. It's not just to pay you back, but to bring you back. To get your attention. Because you're going this way. You're running away. And he's putting roadblocks up. He's like, how can you start running away from God? And you're like, how come life is so hard? Right? How come this stuff never works out? It's like, why would God make it easy for you to run away from him? So he's going to put some stuff in your life and say, all right, I get it. I'm going to stop. You know? I'm going to stop. And the thing is, we see that not only is the storm to get his attention, but the fish swallowed him, and the fish was Jonah's protection, because he would have died in that water, right? Not only his protection, but his transportation. Because what happened was the fish brought him took 3 days to say, man, you know, you got a far way, but let me transport you to where you needed to go in the first place. Right? So 3 days later, it says that a fish vomited Jonah out on the shore of Nineveh. And this is kind of how it happens, right? That, man, like, if you try to run away from God, I mean, you can save yourself from pain because he got to where God wanted him anyways. You know, he could save himself 3 days in a fish, you know, fish guts and all that stuff. He could save all that by just following. Because God gets his way, right? So, the story goes, he's at the city of Nineveh, and he's like, okay, God, finally. You know, he repents inside the fish. He's like, fuck God, okay, I'll do what you want me to do. But he's thinking, well, I'm going to just
just going to do the minimum that's required. You want me to go there and warn those people? Okay. And he shows up. He says, huh? People hit him. Listen up. I got a word for you. You hear me? And he says, 9 words, son. In 40 days, God's going to kill you guys. Good night. Drop some mic. Goodbye. That's all he says. Literally, in chapter 3, he says this. In 9 words, he says, 40 more days, in verse 4, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. Good night. I'm going to go sit on the hill and watch you guys burn. Right? So he was thinking this. Okay, God, you want me to do this? I'm going to do the minimum required. Maybe it's going to work out for me because these people are evil. They're not going to turn to God anyways. And I get a front row seat. I'm going to stand and I'm going to actually watch God rain fire down the earth. This might be good. I'm going to get go home and tell the boys, oh man, you see all these different, they're crying, like, ah, it's almost awesome. It's like, this might work out. But to his shock and his horror, we see that from the king down to the lowest servant, a revival breaks out. 120,000 people repent and ask for God's forgiveness. And God says, I forgive you. And at this point, Jonah's like, what just happened? This is terrible. Now I'm supposed to raise a family about with me? Like, I hate these people. Right? I hate these people. And then let's look at chapter 4. So Jonah was really upset at God at this point. It says, but Jonah was great, verse 1, was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, this is not what I said. I'm sorry. Is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? And so this is the point. He says, God, that's why I didn't want to come. That's why I ran there. I knew you would forgive these people. Right? I just knew. Like, you notice how closely he knows God? He says, God, I knew you were gracious. I need your compassion. I need your God that's slow to anger, abounding in love, a God that will relent from sin and punishment. Right? All those things that he gladly accepted for his own case, right? Because he was a sinner, God forgave him. God, I know you're gracious to me. God, I know you're compassionate to me. I know that I made you angry. You're slow to anger to me. I know you're abounding in love. I know you could have punished me, but you're relented from sin and punishment. I know you're that type of God because you did it in my life. But because I knew you would do that, I didn't want you to do that with them. And I'm really angry, okay? So what lesson is this? Okay, lesson number 3 is this. Knowing about God is very different than following God. Knowing about God is very different than following God. I mean, you can be a good church goer and read your Bible, and you can know all this stuff. We could quote scripture, we could say God is like this, God is like that. But if it actually doesn't compel us to start following God and trusting Him and doing the things that He wants us to do, it's worthless. That knowledge will condemn you. Right? Knowing about God is not the same as following God. And I fear for us, those of us who know what God wants us to do, and we say, no, I'm just going to ignore it. Okay? I mean, most of us aren't brave enough to run away and get plenty to go someplace else, but we just stand where we're at and we're lost in it and say, no, I'm not going to do it. Can't get me to do it. Right? So knowing about God is not the same as following God. So the story continues. Let me go ahead and read the rest of the chapter 4. The Lord replied, have you any right to become angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. He made himself a shelter. Sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided, there's that word again, remember, He sent a storm, provided a fish. It says, then the Lord provided a vine, like a plant, a leafy plant, provided a vine and made it grow over Jonah and give shade over his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a fish, provided a plant, provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided, again, a scorching east wind and turned up the heat wave.
The sun blazed on Jonah's head, and he grew faint, and he wanted to die. He said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have any right to be angry about the vine?
I do.
I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord says, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it, or make it grow, and it sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Okay? So you see here, like Jonah is like a moody little teenager. I got some teenagers, a preteen in my house now. My son just started high school, and it's like hot and cold. Oh, I love that. That's so awesome. That you're awesome. And we just tell him, turn off the TV, do your homework. I hate you! You know, hey, you guys want to go out from high school? Oh, can't get the best. Then you got to go home. When you get home, you got to put your, I hate you! You know? It's like, hot and cold, hot and cold, right? And so God, I said, God, I'm angry at the dog. You forgive these Ninevites. And God says, hey, sit down. Let me provide you some shade. And God just made this miraculous plant that grows over. It's like, oh, he's just very happy about the shade. He's like, God, thank you so much for caring. God, you knew I needed to do that. God, you got any iced tea here? That's real nice here. And then overnight, so God provided a worm to kill, eat that plant. And then the next day, the plant died. And God says, he provided a heat wave. You know, it's hot. This is, he got, hot and cold. This is where he starts getting angry. Right? And God asks this question, do you have any right to be angry? You got any right? Because what happens is we thank God for the vine, for the good things. We thank God first for salvation. Right? God, thank you for saving me from the storm. Thank you for sending this fish so I wouldn't die. Thank you for giving me this plant to hold, But when God takes away the plant and sends some heat, we get angry. So we thank God for the good things, but we complain about the bad things. And God asks us, do you have any right to be angry? Do you have any right? Or do you have any right to be angry about the vine? Do you have any right to be angry about if I want to forgive these people or not? Do you have any right? Right? So the lesson is this, that we, if you're following God, if you're a believer, you need to openly receive both good and bad from God. Only receive blessings and those things that are hard that you don't understand. We got family members dealing with cancer. Right? God, why did you allow this? We got kids, our kids that we love, making bad choices. God, how come you didn't? It's like, will you only receive good from God? Right? And not go through the hardship, right? On the street, what do you call a person that's only there for the good stuff and is never there for when you really need them, right? That's not a good friend, right? If you're dating someone that bounces every time something happens, you call that a gold digger, right? You just hear about when you got some good stuff going on and then you're gone, right? It reminds me of the story of Job. God takes away his family, takes away his health, takes away his wealth, takes away all this stuff. This is what Job said. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank you when I was a rich man, with a big family and health. And now that I'm poor, my kids die, and I'm sick. Blessed be your name. Because you were there in the beginning, the good times, I still know you're there. And I can't just take good from you and not take the trials too. Right? So we see a person of faith openly receives both good, the blessings, and the hardships. So, it's been a little difficult for me to care for my mom. It's honestly a trial. I've been praying for her, I've been a Christian 27 years, I became a Christian in 1988 as a teenager, and I've been praying for my mom ever since. I just been praying for her, And I just never thought, God brings her into my home. And after a bunch of just unusual circumstances, 2 months ago, she gives her life to the Lord. So after 27 years, she finally prays and ask Jesus to come in her heart, to give her, to be the Lord of her life. And I was telling this to a friend of mine who was in my small group, and he says, "Aren't you glad you didn't give up on your mom?" And I said, "To be honest, I gave up on her many, many times. I'm glad Jesus didn't give up on her. Yeah. I gave up on her." Yeah. God's love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on us. So the fifth lesson is this. We need to stop running away from the God that loves us and that is pursuing us. Right? If there is a God that loves you with that everlasting, unconditional love that will come and chase you down even if you're running away, if he never gives up, if he never runs out of you even though you're trying to run out of him, if he loves you that much, why do we not trust him? He says, "Do you not know that I care for you? Do you not know that even though this is something you don't want to do you not trust me that I know what's best for you?" And why do we insist on running away from the God who loves us and has a great plan for us? His plan is so much better than your plan. Right? Because every time you got your way, it didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Right? It actually probably turned out worse. And the issue with running away from a God that will chase you down is he'll eventually get you where he needs to get you because he's not going to let you go. What you can do is save yourself some hardship. Because some of you know that because you're just coming back to God. You're like, you know what? If I would have never, as a teenager, if I was just listening to my mama and stayed in church, I wouldn't have had 20 years going out there and I was trying to figure out why I should just stay. You could save yourself some pain. Jonah could save himself 3 days in a fish if you would have just listened because God got his way anyway. And I would just say to you, stop running away. Because God will chase you down. He'll get you where he needs to get you. Right? But if you force him to, he'll send some storms your way. And it's tough love, but he loves you enough to never let go. Right? He'll chase you down. And the issue is that we need to get ourselves to a place where we say, "God, I see you. I see your love. I see that you care for me. And I trust you. Even though your plan is different than my plan, I trust you." That's right.